Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show. I'm delighted to have with me today the wonderful Kimberly Higgs. Kimberly, hello to you.
Hi there, Rob. How are you?
We're fantastic. Great to have you on the show. Tell us a bit about your background and your expertise.
Yeah, of course. So I originally started my career in financial services recruitment about 5 years ago, where I gained a lot of expertise in terms of the fundamentals of accountancy and also mergers and acquisitions. So I'm currently the Northwest Regional Director of the UK and specialise in the execution of mergers and acquisitions. Work for a retiring accountant, the leading accountancy mergers and acquisitions specialist in the sector, which brokers between 70 and 90 accountancy business sales every year. So I very much have a good understanding of that and have built up relationships with over 1,600 potential acquirers, and on a day-to-day basis speak to dozens of accountancy owners and help shape the industry through the reallocation of resources.
Well, sounds glamorous. What kind of shape is the accountancy profession in at the moment?
It's in a good shape at the moment. We actually expected that the number of individuals coming to exit the industry would increase, and that's largely because MTD is very much on the way. Yes, there have been some people bringing forward their retirement, but also there's been a lot of individuals looking to capitalise on that opportunity. So we've just seen an overall increase in the number of deals over the last 12 months or so, and we're expecting that to continue.
Yeah. I read somewhere that there are more accountants dying or leaving the profession or retiring than there are coming in. Have you verified that?
Yeah, absolutely. We think that there are people exiting. Having said that, I think that there's overall broad consolidation within the industry. Smaller accountants are struggling largely because of the software costs, and it just is becoming, you know, more beneficial to run a larger accountancy practice. There has been more smaller practices exiting in terms of the actual deals taking place. The larger companies are requiring more.
So you're talking about a difference between the smaller firms and the larger firms. Are you saying that the larger firms are in a better position to survive and thrive?
I think so, yeah, absolutely. Particularly with MTD coming in and all of the changes in regulations, it's just a lot more expensive to be able to run smaller accountancy practice, and you can gain a lot more synergies and economies of scale, and that's just becoming larger and larger as we move forward with all of the changes in regulation.
That sounds like the principal driver for accountants wanting to get out.
Well, exactly, yeah. There are a lot of smaller practices that are saying exactly that. It's just too expensive to be paying for the software, too expensive to continually update it. A lot of smaller accountancy owners say to me on a daily basis that they waste half a day on the phone to HMRC, or they waste half a day fixing problems with the software. And that time that could have been billable, or in a larger company, you wouldn't be struggling with that.
Yeah. So what are the options when an accountant decides they want to sell or even get out? Because I guess some accountancy firms, they just die on the vine, do they? And nothing happens to them.
Well, yeah, exactly. If you don't have succession plans in place, then the clients gradually drift away and find alternative accountants.
Right.
But if you want to reap the reward and look at succession planning when you don't have staff members that are able to take over the practice or have the funding, or family members within the practice, then the best way to look at actually getting a value for your life's work is via acquisition and selling on your legacy.
Tell us a bit about the mergers and acquisitions space at the moment.
Yes, accountancy practices on the whole tend to sell on a multiple of GRF, so gross recurring fees. Now we see practices sell anywhere from 0.6 times GRF right at the bottom end up to about 1.6 times GRF. Now, if I break that down, between 0.6, 0.9 to 1 times, you tend to have practices that aren't doing very well.
Right.
They're looking for a quick exit for whatever reason. We've had it before where sadly the principal's died and the family members are looking to sell what they can to be able to get that capital value. Or they're stagnating, not growing anymore and not being up to date and have a lot of paper files. Now, between 1.6 times, you tend to have what we would call the premium accountancy practices. Now, these typically are retiring owners, and these are practices that have been growing their business year on year. They've had it established for sometimes 10, 20 or 30 years, and it's very well run, and they have half an eye on exiting the industry should the right opportunity present itself.
Mm.
Now, if they don't find the right opportunity, there's absolutely no problem because they can continue running the practice, so they're able to wait and find those premium opportunities.
Mm.
We've seen an overall increase in deal shapes, and we just released our 2019 white paper, which showed that about a decade ago, the average selling price was about 1 times GRF for this practice. And now it's been bumped up to 1.2. So it is a good time to look at exit exiting the industry. Mm. Having said that, round the corner with, as I say, MTD and also Brexit coming, we're not sure whether that is going to move towards a buyer's market.
What actually is the acquisition process and how long does it take?
The acquisition process would typically start by picking up the phone to one of the brokers and just explaining a little bit more about your personal circumstances and where you're up to at the moment. Now, after realising what you want to do moving forward, from the buying side, you would say, you know, I'd like to acquire, these are the reasons why, this is why I represent a good opportunity. We do offer two levels of service. One is our retained proactive service, whereby someone would pay an upfront payment and we would go and actively search in the marketplace for an acquisition opportunity. If not, we would put you on our reactive service, whereby if we find an opportunity that fits what you're looking for, we'll pick up the phone and tell you about it. Mm-hmm. Now, from the selling side, it is very much a seller's market at the moment. For every one seller, there are three or four buyers that would bite my hand off to meet with them first.
Wow, really? Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a massive disparity. And we think that's largely because when people acquire, they realise what a good return on investment it can be when it's done properly. And they'll acquire 3, 4, 5, 10 times. Whereas 99% of people have never sold a business before. So from the selling side, if someone says they want to sell, we provide them with a full valuation free of charge so that they would know what their business is worth, as it can be quite difficult to value that when you're looking at your own business. We take the opportunity to the marketplace, see if there was demand, and we always look to introduce three individuals to a potential individual looking to exit because they have something to compare their meetings to. We'll put the best three opportunities in front of them, and it means that they can reap the best value within the marketplace.
Presumably, it's not just about the price that they're offered, is it? What are the things that are considered a good fit?
Yeah, absolutely. So price often starts off by being one of the least important factors. It only tends to come into play later on, right, when people realise, you know, the individual. So, I mean, all sellers say to me when they first pick on the phone, "Kimberly, I'm not that bothered about money. I want the right home for my clients." Hmm. Because they've spent, you know, 20 years servicing the clients. Often they become friends with the clients.
Yeah.
And they have a very personal relationship. So because of that, they say, you know, find me the right home. Find me someone with a similar culture, someone who's going to keep on my staff members that know and love the clients, someone that's going to keep my office as it is because the clients come and visit the office, someone that's going to, yeah, really care about the clients and get those high retention levels.
Mm-hmm. What kind of people are buying accounting firms?
Oh, honestly, absolutely everyone. So I get people calling me up who are in industry at the moment, who are trying to build a portfolio on the side of their current job and want to buy additional revenue to be able to quit their job and run a practice. I also get people who are running, you know, smaller practices who are looking to double the size of their practice fairly swiftly. And then larger companies that are looking for bolt-on acquisitions to reduce the overheads and increase their overall GRF.
So if a retiring accountant is thinking of selling, is it best they contact you sooner rather than later? And what might you do for them before that?
Absolutely. So in terms of the actual time the process takes, we recommend a minimum of 3 months,
right,
to actually sell a business. Having said that, we've sold a business in 3 weeks before. I very much don't recommend doing that. In terms of the process, you know, when you're meeting individuals and speaking to them, from the process of sitting down, meeting people, to going through getting offers and accepting them, to writing up the heads of terms, which we do impartially, and also implementing solicitors to do either an asset sale or a share sale, moving forward to a completion date, it can take 2-3 months. Now, on the average, it does take between 3 and 12 months because often there can be issues in terms of someone dropping out or finding something in the due diligence that means that they don't want to move forward. And we always recommend being available for a handover period of between 6 months and 2 years. Now, if you can't offer that 6-month handover period, we see the valuations reduced down. So it's very important that you think about it in advance to be able to offer the full 2 years should that be required by an individual.
Mm. And if someone approaches you and says, "I want to sell now," presumably that's one thing. But if they say, "I want to sell in 3 years," you can probably give them some great advice on increasing the value of the firm.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a number of things that you can do to increase the valuation of your business if you are looking to exit in about 3 years' time. And also, the best time to look at selling is before you have to, if that makes sense. You don't want to be in the position where you don't have a choice and you have to sell to the bidder that's available. Mm. You want to be in the position where you can pick and choose and capitalize on the fact it's a seller's market at the moment and gain that premium valuation by identifying what we call a special purchaser.
So what kind of things can an accounting firm do to increase their valuation?
There are a number of factors that go into a business valuation. We see practices go for the higher multiples that have higher average fee levels. So anything a practice owner can do to potentially remove or increase the fees of the bottom percentile can increase the overall average fee and therefore the overall selling price. In addition, we find that limited companies are more profitable because of the fact that they can be offered more additional services such as consultancy work, company formation, acquisition strategy, health, etc., which means people will pay a higher price for practices that have folios with higher averages of limites. In addition, profitability is always important. So anything that you can do to reduce your costs and increase your profitability is going to help. In addition, a lot of smaller practices have one very large client in the portfolio. And if you have a client that's over 10% of turnover, that can reduce the valuation because if you lose that client, you've lost a lot of the GRF already.
Yeah.
So trying to even out that risk portfolio is very important as well. And the final thing that's really important is the actual deal structure that you agree. So we see practices sell anywhere from a third up front to two thirds up front, with the remainder paid over 1 or 2 years, and typically a 12-month fallback period, meaning that if clients drop off in the first 12 months, the acquirer wouldn't be paying for them.
Yeah.
Now, if I get people that say to me, Kimberly, I'm comfortable, I don't want the money up front, I just want as much money as possible over the course of the next 2 years. In that case, you'll get a higher multiple because you're taking the risk of having that money in terms of the fallback period.
Right.
Now, on the flip side, some people say, Kimberly, just get me as much money on my pocket on day one, and I don't mind if it goes for a lower valuation. So it depends on the structure of the deal that's actually agreed as opposed to what value you get for the practice.
Yeah. How important is it that a firm is digital? Presumably, if they're all paper and Excel spreadsheets, that's quite onerous for someone to take on, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Digitization is important. A lot of acquirers say, I will only look at practices that are already digitized. So if you're not moving forward with that, you've shortened down the addressable market.
Yeah.
In addition, we do see lower valuations if people aren't on with MTD at the moment, if they are using paper files. One caveat to that, which I've had, is the retiring owner will invest the time to help transition in terms of not charging to be able to move those paper files onto digital copies. And that's a way to move around it. But you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So what are some of the benefits of growing by acquisition?
From our experience, other channels of organic growth, unfortunately, tend to be limited to the number of new businesses registering in the area, or the number of individuals that are unhappy with their current accountant and the service that they're receiving. Now, if you want to expand beyond your natural referral rate of growth, you're going to have to look at some sort of cold marketing techniques, pay-per-click advertising, networking, or other various forms of lead generation. Now, the ceiling of growth can absolutely be smashed by acquisitions. And also you get the organic referrals on top of that when you actually acquire a business. So you're very much getting the best of both worlds. Now, when you consider a typical 3 to 4 year payback period in an acquisition, and then an annual return on investment of about 30% thereafter, it's a very lucrative investment given today's low rate environment. And it can be seen as one of the best possible yields out of any asset class.
Mm.
And the thing that you're gaining from it is you're getting an established relationship with many years of goodwill being referred on to you by the retiring owner. And it can actually be cheaper than pay-per-click advertising if you consider the quality of the companies that you're getting, how long they're going to stay with you. And also you get the knowledge of the client base from the retiring individual. So it can really help in terms of, you know, using up spare capacity, getting strategic growth goals more quickly, diversifying your portfolio. So at the moment, I'm actually doing a lot of work with contracting firms that are looking to buy general practicing firms because they're worried about IR35 and want to diversify the portfolio. And it's a good way to do that because when you get referrals from the kind of clients you already have.
And in your vocabulary, is a retiring owner practice the same as a sole practitioner practice?
Yes, yeah, so we think there's a big advantage of acquiring retiring owners specifically.
Right.
The reason for that is a retiring owner is not a one-stop shop. They've spent 10, 20, 30 years putting all of their heart and soul into their work, which can represent a very lucrative opportunity. And a retiring owner genuinely wants to help you succeed in moving forward and continuing their life's work. which means that you do get the highest retention rates. We typically, as a business, get about 95% when you have the full handover. And when those client relationships can last for many years, you're really getting a value for money. The other thing is, retiring owners are not going to come back in 3 years and, you know, knock on the doors of the clients and say, hi, I've re-registered, come back to me. They genuinely want to leave the industry. They're ready to retire, which is the risk you take when you acquire a practice whereby someone's going back into industry. If there is any problems in terms of a difficult client, you can always pick up the phone to a retiring owner. They'll come in and sort that out, whereby if someone's left or gone into a different role, they're not going to be available for that annual support.
So when a retiring owner is selling his firm, presumably there's just one person to deal with. As firms get bigger and want to sell, decisions become harder, presumably, because there's managing partners and other partners
so we do deal with one partner practices with a sole retiring owner. We do also have it whereby there's a group of partners that are all reaching retirement age.
Right.
And we sell at anything from sort of £20,000 GRF right up to the top end of 4 million. We do come into more complications when there are more partners, just because there's more people to make the decision. And it's a lengthier process because various people need approval. The thing that we can do is, if there is a larger practice that has some younger individuals within that, you can often get it whereby the younger person retains their equity stake and someone else buys out the retiring individuals should the partner not be able to afford that, and then they have a position within the new firm, which can actually be quite beneficial in terms of that individual knows how the practice works, they know the clients, so they're able to transition it even better than a retiring owner.
You've hinted a little bit, but what kind of things would a seller look for when choosing the potential acquirer, or as you mentioned, that special purchaser?
So there's a few things that retiring owners tend to look for. The first one is an established, successful business. If you've been trading for some time and growing year on year, you're likely to be able to handle the additional GRF. And also it shows that you're doing a good job. So you're going to be able to provide the clients you acquire with a good service as well, meaning that they're going to get the highest retention levels. Retiring owners largely look for a practice that is going to be able to maintain the client relationships so they can receive their second and third payments. Because if the clients don't transition, then they lose out on that. Now, the other thing they look for is if you've been through the acquisition process before, you've been successful with it and you've achieved 95% retention, you're likely to move through the process again, know what you're looking out for in the due diligence, and be able to transition it well. So that can really put a retiring owner's mind at ease. The other thing that they look for is if you are able to offer slightly more money up front, that can often be the tipping balance, and you often end up getting a lower multiple because of that. So if you're confident in your ability to retain the clients, you can end up getting a very good deal by paying, you know, above the standard 50 to 60% level up front.
It sounds like it's a match made in heaven. These people that want to acquire, these people that want to sell, there can't be any pitfalls, can there, in this whole process?
Oh, there absolutely can. It is a complex process. It's not easy, and deals can fall down at every stage. The first one is to do with finance. So I've had people come to me before where they said they've had finance cleared and they haven't actually had it approved. And what's happened in that process is they'll find the perfect individual to acquire. They'll get through the process and then the bank will take 3 months to secure the finance. Even though it's a great match, the person looking to exit will go with someone else because of that. So if you are going to look to acquire and engage a broker, make sure you have the funding available and approved prior to moving forward, as it can be quite heartbreaking when you find the perfect acquisition opportunity and can't move forward with it. The next one that we found is when you move forward with the process, you need to instruct solicitors either an asset purchase agreement or a share purchase agreement. Now, if you have solicitors that aren't familiar with the nuances of acquisitions, it can end up becoming a very lengthy process and also one that's very expensive, as you have to make a lot of adjustments. Now, we recommend solicitors that are specialists in accountancy, mergers and acquisitions that are able to charge a fixed fee because they know the work that is involved in the process. Now, a lot of solicitors can't because they're not familiar with that. So having that knowledge can really help. Another area that people fall down is finding the right acquisition opportunities. It is, of course, highly confidential. So you need to make sure that you are open to speaking to people about what you're looking for. And the final pitfall is going into a meeting, you've got a 1 in a million chance of getting the price right. Either you're going to go in too low and you're going to offend the person that you're going to be working with, or you're going to go in too high and end up paying too much. Dealing with brokers allows you to understand the value of the practice, and they can create a win-win convergence offer for both parties to make sure you are getting a lucrative opportunity, but also the seller is getting a fair price.
Sure. Tell us quickly, Kimberly, the difference between a share sale and an asset sale.
A share sale is where you buy the shares within a limited company, and an asset sale is where you buy the goodwill value of the clients and bring it into your own company.
Right.
So in terms of the main differences, we've actually seen an increase in share sales, as mentioned in our new white paper. And that's largely because there's been an increase in direct debit monthly payments. And when you acquire a practice, if you don't get hold of the bank accounts, which you do in a share sale, you have to contact all of the clients, get them to change over the bank details to your current bank account, and that can be quite a lot of hassle.
Sure.
Having said that, share sales tend to take longer. They're a bit more expensive in terms of the agreements because you're taking on all of the historic liability of the practice with purchasing the actual company. So larger companies sometimes steer away from this because it can cause a lot of issues if something that advice that was given over 20 years ago comes up and ruins the brand. And asset sales tend to be quicker, easier. The due diligence process is a lot shorter because all you need to do is verify the gross recurring fee income. You don't need to go into any of the other details. But in terms of what's best, it very much depends on what both parties are looking for.
Sure. This is great, Kimberly. If people want to get hold of that white paper you're talking about, find out more about what you do there at Retiring Accountants, how might they best reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a website, retiringaccountant.co.uk. They can pick up the phone to me at any time, and I'm always available just to talk through information, and I'll send them over a free copy of the white paper.
So this has been brilliant, Kimberly. Leave us with you with one tip for the people that are selling their firms and one tip for people that are perhaps buying.
Yes. So in terms of selling, my one top tip would be do it in advance and be well aware of the process so that you can embark on it in advance to be able to get the best price. And now is a very good time to be looking at the market.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of acquiring, it is a fantastic way to grow the business. People who acquire from me once come back in a few years and say, Kimberly, that's been the best investment and the best decision I've made. Buy me another one, but bigger. So don't miss out on the potential opportunities that could be right on your doorstep.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kimberly Higgs of Retiring Accountants, that's been superb. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.